Hi, I'm Dr. Lauren Hungler, a naturopathic doctor and creator of the Healthy AF Mom Show, the show that helps tired millennial moms regain control of their energy, banish their bloat, get better Z's, live a little greener and a little cleaner, and understand their postpartum bods and more. In today's bite-sized episode, you're going to learn three things. One is, how does your immune system work? Number two is, how can we support it naturally? And number three are my top three things that I think should be in everyone's natural medicine health cabinet. If you'd love to go in deeper on this conversation and help to support your little one's immune system more strategically, I invite you to grab one of my free meet and greet calls. The link is just in the show notes below. Because just because something's natural doesn't mean it's safe. And when it comes to kids, there's different doses, different strategies that we can use to really optimize their health. And if you're digging the podcast so far and loving the content, I invite you to subscribe to your podcasting platform or leave a review. So let's jump in. Tell me if you can relate. So you hear the cough. Maybe you hear a sniffle come from the other room, or you start to see that little green snot bubble come out of your kid's nose, and you kind of just catch your breath, where you automatically think like, oh my gosh, what are we in for? What am I in for? And then what is the rest of our family in for? Because usually what happens across the board for families is that one person gets sick and then everybody else follows along. And so this cyclical season of getting sick, feeling better can be really intense, really stressful, really overwhelming for a lot of families, for a lot of parents. And believe me, I've been there. This past summer, both my husband and I got like epically sick, where both of us had some type of either GI bug or we had food poisoning, one of the two, and we were down for the count. And all I could think of was that, oh my gosh, this isn't like it used to be, where, you know, you could lay in bed and just be sick. I still had to function. I still had to drive my kids to daycare. I still had to get them breakfast. I still had to adult and parent. And so this idea of when your kids get sick, I think the really challenging part, and most of us get like very stressed about it, is because it's not just them getting sick. It's that you might be getting sick too, but you still have to operate and function at 100% when you just don't feel it. So one of my goals for today is understanding how your immune system works and how your little's immune system works. Because when we know why and how something's working, we can really implement change and implement strategies to help to support it. And so one thing I really want to drive home today is that it's not about not getting sick, right? I've had lots of parents where I'm like, you know, it's like, I don't want my kid to get sick. That's not the goal of it. Getting sick is healthy. Getting sick is natural. We need to actually get sick. What we really want to focus on, and what I think the language should be around it, is it's how can we shorten the duration and how can we shorten the intensity of that getting sick, right? So that we're moving through it efficiently, effectively. We're helping to support our immune system from an overarching perspective, but that we're not kind of in this like lingering or cyclical sense of getting sick, where you're sick for 1 week, you get better for 3 days, and then your kids are getting sick again. And then it feels like we're nonstop sick. Or the idea of where your kid will get sick. And I'm sure there's some of you who can identify with this, where it's like, they get sick and then it automatically goes into their lungs. They're either the croupy kid, the bronchitis kids, maybe they're getting pneumonia. It kind of always goes really deep and really aggressive. And then we have to go on puffers or we have to use medications to support them, right? And so what we want to do is that getting sick can be normal. Getting sick is healthy. We just want to make sure that we are supporting it appropriately so that you're moving through things quickly and efficiently. What we have noticed in the past 2 or 3 years is that an unintended consequence of our implementation strategies about how we dealt with things is that lots of people, and especially kids, their immune systems weren't challenged. And so lots of kids are playing catch up. And so what I want you to think of your immune system is kind of like it's like a scrapbooker, right? So it gets to scrapbook all the memories. So when it sees a virus or it sees a bacteria, it creates a memory towards it so that the next time that it sees that thing, it can mount a very fast and efficient response. But the first time it sees it, it's kind of slow, right? It has to like make the scrapbook page. It has to figure out where it wants all of its elements. You have to like memorize and figure out like exactly where everything should go. The next time you make that page, it's a lot faster, but that first time is very slow. So usually anytime the first time we see a virus or a cold or a flu, Especially for our kids, the first time is going to be a little bit of a slow go. But the next time they come into contact with that virus, your immune system has created a memory towards it. And so it's very specific. It's a lot more fast acting once it's seen it once before. So lots of kids I find right now are in that like catch up mode where they probably didn't see anything over the past 2 or 3 years where they weren't really sick very often. Now they are getting sick. And so you're playing catch up in regards to the past few years. For especially I find like the 5 or 6 year olds where maybe they missed those first couple years of school, they're playing catch up in their immune system. So I find it is pretty normal right now for kids to be feeling a bit more sick or getting more consistent colds and flus because we are in that catch up mode of that unintended consequence in the past few years. So when it comes to your immune system, how does it work? How does it function? Immunology is a very complex system for the body and how your immune system works. There's tons of communication. There's different organs and different cells. So we're going to be kind of just like brushing the surface of good old immunology and the immune system. But I kind of want you just to have some of the language, some of the nomenclature about how the immune system works so that you can feel more confident and more comfortable when we're getting a cold or flu, and that how we can augment and improve some of these areas for yourself or for your kids. So when it comes to the immune system, it's this like really complex network of different organs, different cells, different tissues. So we can think of our thymus, we can think about our lymph nodes, our spleen. These are some of our key organs of our immunology. And so lots of the time we're having a lot of communication across all of these different pieces, and all of them have to talk to each other appropriately and in the appropriate balance. And we're definitely going to talk today about like what happens when it's skewed or imbalanced one way or the other. So when we look at your immune system, we can divide it up into like two main categories. So you have your innate immune system. Your innate immune system is the stuff that's just there. It's usually the first on the scene. It's the first responder. It's the first one coming into contact with whatever that virus or bacteria or thing is. And so we can think of this as your skin. This is your gut. This is the mucus lining. These are kind of some of our non-specific immune cells that just kind of like satellite around the body looking for stuff as its core job. The thing with your innate immune system is that it's non-specific and it's non-targeted, right? So it's kind of just like out cruising around your body looking for things that aren't supposed to be there, things that are non-self. And so these are going to be things like neutrophils and macrophages. These are some of our white blood cells that are their primary job is to look for things that are not supposed to be there. But again, it's not targeted and it's non-specific. The other half of your immune system is your humoral immunity. So basically what's happening there, your adaptive immunity, is when your immune system is looking for things, but it's going to be a bit more targeted. It can mount a response to specific things. And so these are going to be some of our T cells, our B cells, our humoral immunity. And so it's a lot more specific, but when you're more specific, you usually take a little bit longer. And so it can be a bit of a slow responder, but it does create a memory towards those things. So that the next time you see it, you'll be able to mount a response even faster. So when it comes to your immune system, you want both of these sides to be flourishing. You want both of them to be acting in their appropriate sides, their appropriate manners, responding appropriately to anything that's in its environment or not supposed to be there, and communicating with each other. Because usually what happens is that your innate immune system is kind of first on the scene, looking around to bring things to where it needs to go. So say it's something like a neutrophil or a macrophage, it can kind of like ingest, think of it like Pac-Man. It'll ingest the things that aren't supposed to be there. And then it carries it around to show it to other parts of your immune system and be like, hey guys, look what I found. I think we should mount an immune response to this. And so that's when your humoral immunity can kick in as well, where it's like, oh yes, like let's create some antibodies towards that and let's eliminate it from the system. And so there's this like tightly knit communication from your immune system on both sides of the spectrum, and we want them both in balance, responding as it should. So one thing that can happen is that we can get an exaggeration on one side or the other. And so we liken this to what's called a Th1 or a Th2 dominant immune response. And so it's just a fancy name for saying like maybe your immune system is skewed in one way versus the other. You want to think about this like the teeter-totter on the playground. We usually want that teeter-totter or that balance scale to be nice and even, where both of them are functioning appropriately. What can happen is that your immune system can start to skew in one way or the other. And so we start to see the teeter-totter or the balancing shift in regards to your immune function. So when we see an exaggerated like TH1 response or that cellular immunity that's kind of like running on overdrive and isn't being responsive and communicating appropriately, we start to see more autoimmune concerns. So in this vein, we're thinking of things like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, MS, celiac. We're thinking about things with more of that like autoimmune tendency and dominance. Graves, Hashimoto's, those all kind of fit into this TH1 dominant scenario where your immune system is running more on overdrive and isn't listening or isn't communicating appropriately. On the flip side of that, we have something called your TH2 dominant. And so when we go more TH2 dominant, and so your teeter-totter flips, and so we've got this other side of the scale that's way more rampant and more intense in its activation, we see more like allergic responses. So this is where you're thinking of things like asthma, eczema, food allergies, food sensitivities. This is where this TH2 dominance starts to skew in regards to that side of the immune system, where I would say that like most kids tend to lean into this immune system dominance, where now we're having hyper-reactivity to things that the body shouldn't be responding to, right? And so we get this imbalance of the immune system. And what we really want to do when it comes to the immune system is that we want to support it so that it is a balanced teeter-totter. We want both of those sides to be responding appropriately. But what I really want you to take home there is that your immune system is this delicate balance, this ebb and flow, this communication system. And so depending on what's going on in the body and what we're exposed to, we can create an imbalance within your immune system's activation. And so when we talk about ways that we can support it and help to rebalance it, it's good to know that like how it kind of works, some of those nuts and bolts. So that was my goal for you. So just have a working understanding, a working nomenclature of kind of how the immune system works. When it comes to, okay, cool, I can see that like maybe I've got an imbalance. So if I'm constantly and chronically getting sick, if my kids are in this endless cycle or this really intense aggravation where they feel where they're constantly getting sick over and over, or that sickness is like really intense every time, maybe our immune system just isn't up to snuff. It isn't communicating appropriately. So what are the things that we can do to help to support you and to help to support your little? So that's what we're going to chat about now. So I'm a huge proponent of gut health. And what we want to be really mindful of is that 60 to 80% of your immune function, how your immune system works, comes from your gut. And so that's why if you're on social media, if you're in the literature, if you're listening to anyone out in the medical community, there is a huge push for that gut understanding, that digestive experience, because your microbiota and your good gut bacteria are so essential for so many different processes, but your immune system is right up there at the top. And so when we want to be really mindful is that different microbiota and different strains of bacteria can be really promoting a healthy and balanced immune system. And that's what we really want to support. So when it comes to our kids, there are ways that we can support their gut microbiome. And so one thing we can do is play in the dirt. So there's lots of great research when we look at it in regards to having kids play in the dirt, play in nature. They have a more balanced immune system and more balanced immune function. Getting adequate sleep can really support your microbiome. So making sure we're getting good quality sleep for our kids, making sure they're getting to bed at a really great time, making sure depending on their age that they're getting adequate sleep. So sometimes we get into this routine where maybe our kids have dance or soccer and it's really late at night and we're not getting enough sleep for our kids. So we want to be really mindful of keeping sleep as a really high priority for our kids because it affects so many things, but especially affects your microbiome and your immune status. Stress can also be a big impact. So we think about this if your kids are having lots of tummy troubles, if they're kind of the kid that's just on a bit more of a worrier, sometimes that can suppress their immune function as well. physical activity can be another really big supporter for the microbiome. So making sure our kids are getting outside, being active, getting in lots of play can be a really great support for your gut and for your immunity. And then finally, it's looking at like, do we need to add in a probiotic potentially, right? So lots of fermented foods have great bacterial sources. The tricky part with fermented foods, you have to start low and go slow with kids. It does have a tang. It does have a taste. So the earlier you introduce it, the better off it tends to be. There are some caveats to that as well. So don't just go like loading your kid up with sauerkraut. But we want to be really mindful that you can get it in based with foods. So that's going to be our fermented foods are like kefir, kombucha, although it's going to be a bit of a caffeinated tea. So again, we want to be really mindful about dosing and strategy there. You're thinking about sauerkraut. We're thinking about kimchi. Lots of these like fermented sources can be really high in our healthy bacterial strains. The other side of that is that if your kids don't love the taste of it, or if it's not working for your family, a probiotic is another simple and easy route to get those good, healthy strains in. I'm a really big proponent of a multi-strain probiotic because I think it gives us a better delivery in regards to the vast nature of our microbiome. So I like something that's a bit more of a multi-strain as well. And then again, dosing for kids is between, 5 and 10 billion, depending on their age and what else is going on in their health. You always want to get advice from a healthcare practitioner or a naturopath in regards to like what dosing and what strains and what supportive structures we can put in for your kids. But a probiotic is another really optimal way that we can look at supporting the microbiome for your kids. And if we have this dysregulation of your immune system happening, help to really make it more robust and more responsive for you. Last thing is making sure we're getting lots of fruits and veggies. So your fruits and veggies are going to be what give you lots of great fibery sources, right? And fiber is what feeds your microbiome. So you want to think of that as like a prebiotic. So your fiber and different sources of fiber. So making sure we're getting different kinds of fruits, different kinds of veggies, rotating it through our kids' diet can be really great at helping to support a healthy microbiome and a healthy good gut bacteria because that's their little food source that they thrive on. So that's one of my biggest recommendations when it comes to kids' health and helping to support their immune system and their immune system balance is really being focused on the gut microbiome as like our first step, because we want to make sure that we have that balanced immune system function. And really that's coming from that good, healthy bacteria that lives in their gut. Now we can chat about the three top things that I think should be in everyone's medicinal health cabinet. And so one conversation that always comes up is that it's like, is fevers. And fevers is a tricky one. And so what we want to be really mindful of is that a fever is a response by your immune system. What your body is doing is that it's turning up the temperature in your body. So it becomes this like inhospitable place. It's too hot. The viruses and bacteria do not like the heat. And so you're trying to kill off whatever is like come into the bod, you're trying to eliminate it with that fever. So a fever can actually be really health promoting. It also has a communication to increase some certain cytokines, which are another immune system communicator. It increases certain cellular aspects. So your fever response is one that we actually want and we want to support. This isn't saying that like let the fever run rampant. We want to see if we can support a fever naturally. And if we get to a point where we need to support it with medications, we can do that. But my goal usually is to say like, hey, can we do something like a tepid bath to help bring down the core temperature just to make your kids feel more comfortable, less fussy, less irritated, but hopefully help to kind of maintain that temperature and help to just not like suppress the fever either. Because if we start suppressing the fever right off the bat, we kind of like miss the boat. And a lot of the times we can get sometimes extended colds and flus because we're not letting the immune system respond appropriately. So with that being said, there are red flags. So if your kid is dehydrated, if your kid is not responding, if your kid is really lethargic, then this isn't a place where we try and put in natural strategies. We need to get additional support from a healthcare provider. So there are ways that we can support a fever naturally, but we also want to be really mindful to not take it too far and that there is this like happy medium about how we support a fever, but that we can do it. So the other thing we can think about is the three things that we keep in our natural medicine cabinet where it can just help to support your immune system, improve the antivirals that you have to help eliminate things out of the body, maybe increase some nutrients that are supportive in the immune system as well. And then we have some pieces where it's like, okay, like let's help to reduce the fever a little bit naturally as well. So number one, when it comes to our natural health medicine cabinet is elderberry. I love elderberry. And the best part about it is that it tastes delightful. Like when I think about Mary Poppins and like what she was probably like spooning into those kids, I think it was elderberry because it's super tasty. It's very sweet. So it's very yummy. So I find from a compliance standpoint, kids are really apt to take it because it tastes really yummy. But what elderberry is, or Zambucus, it's a fantastic antiviral. So it helps to eliminate a virus on its own. It's also very high in vitamin A and vitamin C, which are going to be nutrients that help to support the function of your immune system as well. It can also be an antipyretic, so it can actually like bring down a fever too. So we can use that as a support. So at that first sign of like cold or flu is using an elderberry syrup to help support your kids. There's lots of different kid-based elderberry syrups out there where the dosing is a little bit lower. So always have a conversation in regards to like what elderberry should you use? Should you use combination elderberries? There's lots of different options out there. But elderberry is going to be number one that I think everyone should have in their cabinet to use when their little gets sick. Number two, when it comes to your natural health medicine cabinet and what you should keep in there, number two is going to be vitamin D. Vitamin D is this like amazing vitamin. We do store it, so we don't want to take too much. But if you live in the Northern Hemisphere where I do, your vitamin D status usually is fairly low because the sun is basically non-existent for like 3 to 4 months of the year. But there is a balance here, just like everything else, where we want to make sure we're getting enough vitamin D, but we also don't want to go on the other side of things where we're getting too much vitamin D. So for most kids, we're looking at 400 IUs a day. And vitamin D has been shown to be super supportive when it comes to the immune function. And so we want to make sure that our kids are getting their vitamin D in daily to help support their immune system's response, helping to support their immune system balance, and help to make them be able to fight off infections more quickly and more efficiently. When I use vitamin D in kids, I usually go for a liquid format as well because it's easier for them to take. You add it to the spoon. Down the hatch it goes, and it's a very easy, quick. It doesn't taste like anything either, so it's easy for kids to take and to be consistent with it, even as a parent. Finally, is number three, is my go-to is vitamin C. Again, when it comes to kids' health, we want to be really mindful of like, what are they going to take? There's lots of different options when it comes to this category of immune system health, and I could probably name off like 10 different things. These are kind of like my top three. And so vitamin C sits up nice and at the top because it is an antiviral, so it can help to get rid of things efficiently when it comes to colds and flus. It also helps to ramp up and support your immune system to make it more robust and more balanced as well. It also has a nice tangy flavor. So when your kids are old enough to be able to take a chewable, so usually over the age of 3 or 4, a vitamin C tablet's something really simple that they can do. A lot of the times they use a vitamin C and zinc combination for kids. The tricky part with that one is that the zinc does add a bit of a metal taste. And so I find kids are hit and miss whether or not they'll take that. And so adding in some vitamin C can be really supportive to help improve that immune system response and help you to clear your kid's infection just that much quicker. So at that first sign of like the runny nose or the green droopy snot, we've all seen that baby. You want to kind of put in these three things really quickly. And so hopefully you're going to stop that cold or flu in its tracks. And then we're going to do things on the back end outside of when they're actively having a cold or flu where we're helping to build up their immune system. Usually that's a 3 to 6 month process, I would say, on average for most people or for most kids. And so we want to be really mindful that we're building up the foundations while also supporting them acutely. And so that's the science and the health around pediatric immunity and nutrition. And so we can do a lot of really amazing things for our kids to help them feel their best. And like I said at the beginning, the goal is to not ever get sick, right? That's not the goal. We want our kids to be getting sick, but we want them to be getting sick efficiently, effectively, clearing the thing, creating the scrapbook towards it so that if they ever come into contact with it again, you can fight it off just that much faster and that much quicker. And that's what we want to see from a healthy immune system. So that's our foray into the immune system 101, how to support your kids' immune systems naturally. I'd love it if you need more support, if you need more dosing strategies, if you need help in setting up the foundation of your kids' immune system while also having a strategy for when they're actively having a cold and flu. I'd love for you to reach out and grab one of our meet and greet calls. You can grab the link just below in the show notes. Because one of my favorite things, I love working with pediatrics and I love working with kids because they're just so vital. the amount of change that we can have in a little person's health can be so dramatic. And one of my favorite stories from this past year is I had, he was six, and in the past 2 years, he had been to Emerge six times with different versions of bronchitis, pneumonia, really intense colds and flus that went right down into his lungs. He was on chronic puffers, using lots of corticosteroids to help bring down the inflammation. And so I worked with him and worked with his mom to help really establish that immune system. And I can say that this year so far, since we've started working together, no emergency room visits, no doctors or emergent doctors visits or walk-in clinic visits. He has been sick two times. He's had a cold, but he's been able to clear it for himself. So the amount of confidence and support that they can feel as a family is just so much more. And it really just like lights up my passion to help parents, help kids, help them feel their best, and to help them thrive.
Yay, you made it to the end of the episode. If you enjoyed today's show, I'd love for you to hit that subscribe button and to leave a review. And if you felt inspired by anything you heard today, I'd love to share with you a few ways to get started to feel like a healthy AF mom. So in the show notes below, I've left links to some of my favorite challenges. There's a 5-day slay all day smoothie challenge, a get hella hydrated challenge, and a know your labs challenge. All amazing ways that you can get started to feel like your epic version of yourself today. I also have an awesome coupon code. It's HEALTHYAF15, all caps, and that's a 15% off discount to my 14-day body reboot. Again, it's linked in the show notes below. And finally, I love to get social. So if you wanted to follow me or leave me a comment or a review, you can find me on Instagram and YouTube and TikTok at dr.lauren.nd. I'll see you there.